Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's 2018, and we are happy to see each one of you joining us on our first Shabbat of the Gregorian calendar. Of course, many Canadians spent the new civic year reflecting on the year that ended, and definitely spent some time also planning for the year ahead. And for many, it is a time of partying, right? But for others, it is a time to spend with friends and, of course, with family. To people who are artists, writers, and poets, and I believe there are some artists here with us. The new year is a wonderful time to be creative of something because they draw their inspiration from this season. Among them, T.S. Eliot, who wrote in his poem, Little Gidding, back in 1942, he said, "For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice, and to make an end is to make a beginning." One of the most popular traditions of the secular holiday is making New Year's resolutions, right? It is like promising oneself to eat a fewer desserts or to exercise regularly, only to break the promise a few months after, or it may not even last through January. The French poet André Gide addressed the idea with a little bit of humor when he said, "Can one still make resolutions when one is over 40? I live according to 20-year-old habits." Ellen Goodman, columnist of the Boston Globe, approached the new year with optimism. She said, We spend January 1 walking through our lives, room by room, drawing up a list of work to be done, cracks to be patched. And maybe this year, to balance the list, we ought to walk through the rooms of our lives, not looking for flaws, but for potential. Edith Lovejoy Pierce described the first year of the year as an open book. Its pages are blank, and we are going to put words on them ourselves. The book is called Opportunity, and its first chapter is now. Last week, we ended the book of Genesis with the parasha Vayigash, with the passing of both Jacob and his son, Joseph. This Shabbat, we will begin the second book of the Pentateuch. It's called Shemot, or Names. It is commonly titled Exodus in most of our English Bibles, but at the same time, it is the name of the parasha today. The book of Exodus was originally called Sefer Yetziat Mitzrayim, or the book of the going out of Egypt, which then came to be known simply as Shemot, from the opening phrase of Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. And these are the names. Ve'ele Shemot. And these are the names. This book of the Torah contains Exodus contains the 10 words or the 10 commandments, which are not only the foundation of our messianic faith, but also it is God's universal standards of morality. And it is spanning for all mankind, Jew and Gentile. The big question for us is, do I measure up to God's standards? A simple answer, of course, is we don't. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reality, of course, is that we all fail to do what we should do. That is why the teachings of the Torah, the teachings of the Bible, teaches us on how to live. The Torah also drives us to God in repentance. It drives us to do teshuva. We see here that the commandment of God is the measure of our need of His saving grace. And God, in His grace, offered us salvation in Yeshua Messiah because He loved us. And that love is also our motivation to share the good news to others. Because God loves us, and this love inspires us to love others. A love that cannot be restricted only to our words, but must be reflected in our actions. It's called obedience. Obedience to His words is the model of God's work in our lives. The change, the transformation of our past self to this new creation. The new you. It's called the believer. It is the fruit of the good news in our lives. We have not put our trust in the Messiah just to live as we wanted to live. But we put our trust in Messiah to do what He wanted to do for us. We have been saved to live like Christ. If we say that we are born from above, born into the kingdom, and born into God's family, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, there should be family resemblance. Right? And the Bible encourages us to be shaped into being a little more like our Master, a little more like our Messiah and our Lord. I remember a story once in the old country of Yosefov. It hadn't rained for many months. The villagers were getting desperate, and the old rabbi decreed that all men would pray for rain on the nearby mountain. And so they did, but no rain. They climbed the mountain again the following day. They brought their wives and their children, but still no rain. The following day, they brought the old, the sick, and the babies, but still no rain. Next day, they brought along every chicken, every goat, every horse, the donkeys, all the village, but still nothing. The old rabbi raised his eyes to the sky and said, "Why, God? why don't you answer our prayers? Why do you say we don't believe? There was thundering in the sky. And God answered, nobody brought an umbrella. It is obvious, I believe, that the Bible teaches us that we cannot separate how to get right with God from doing what is right. The good news and the good deeds go together. Let's open up our study in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words and for the eternal truths that guide us day by day. We thank you, O Lord, most of all for your living word, Yeshua, our Messiah. Thank you for the sureness of your presence. Teach us how to turn to you so that your thoughts will be our thoughts and your ways will be our ways. In Yeshua's name, amen. Please open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Which is our Torah reading today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Our Torah section today contains the face-to-face encounter with the Shekinah of God. After 40 years in the wilderness, Moses standing sheep. Moses heard the call of God from the midst of a burning bush, which was not consumed. It is an obvious miracle. He turned aside to get a closer look, and God introduced himself to Moses. He said he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who has entered into covenant with his people. He is not a new or a foreign God to them, whom the people do not know, because he is the God who intends to keep his word to them. God called the Israelites my people, just as we would identify our children as belonging to us. I have 3 daughters, and people would sometimes ask, whose children are those? Whose children are they? And I say, they are mine. Their names also mean something. My eldest, Lois Grace, means God's grace is pleasant. Louise Eunice Faith, my second, means conquering fate. And Yaela Amor means her feet is established in the mountains by God's love. Every time someone calls them by name, it is our desire as parents that they are reminded that they belong to God. In the same way, as does each and every one of us should know that we belong to Adonai. We belong to God. As recorded in Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord said, who created you? Who formed you? I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. And you are mine. The following verses adds in chapter 43, Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Why? The Lord said to Moses, because you have found favor in my sight, I knew you by your name. This morning, the Lord knows you by your name. In our text, Moses asked God, what is his name? This is not an inquiry for information as to what God is called. The question cannot be understood literally when you read it in English, but when we read it in Hebrew, it makes more sense. Obviously, the answer Moses would like to know here is, in what essence of God's character God would reveal himself to his people right now? Will he reveal himself as the merciful one? Will he be El Shaddai, providing nourishing and supplying the needs of Israel? Will he be Rapha, Nisi, Raha, Chidkenu, and so on? Moses here needs to know which of God's attributes he would manifest in the course of redeeming them out from Egypt. Which attribute of God will he meet them where they are? Or is there more than one? The Hebrew name the Lord gave in here, if we read it in Hebrew, it says, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. I will be as I will be. Or in some Hebraic renderings, they say, I shall be as I shall be. But in our English, it says, I am who I am. God in here is calling himself, I will be what I will be. He is saying that I will be a deliverer, a redeemer, a savior, a healer, a provider, a counselor, a father, a shepherd, your peace, almighty, master, or even a friend to you. Hashem is saying this, that I will be this for you. Because Yahweh steps beyond time in our future to become whatever it is, to become whatever He is. He knows we need Him at that very moment in these attributes. God will meet you where you are at today. I am who I am. It is an expression that he was, that he is, and he ever will be. It is a manifestation of his presence, his loving kindness, his faithfulness, his guidance. Jehovah who hears our prayers, our cries, and even our silence. Adonai makes his ways of righteousness by a name that you will personally remember him. How he revealed himself to you with his providential care of how great a living God is he. He is the God of our past, the God of our present, And best of all, He is the God of our future. He promises that the future He has planned for us is a good one. Because He is the God, according to our song this morning, who was. He is the God who was, who is, and who forever will be. We sanctify His name by living out the reality of its meaning. We live our faith on the basis that what He said is true. We keep the faith based upon what He said He will do. But if we live as though what He said is irrelevant after knowing the name, there is no change in you, then you are living in a way that defames the name, and we fail to sanctify it. Our life as a messianic believer focuses our faith on His name, and Yeshua is the revealer of His name. No one can truly sanctify Hashem apart from trusting in Yeshua, because He reveals God in His fullness. In the words of the Great Commission in the book of Matthew, Yeshua commanded us to reach out to the world in the name. Right? And Yeshua goes on to promise us, He said, I am with you always, even to the end of age. If you read the words again in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, you open it yourselves. Look at it in Matthew 28, verse 19. It reiterates that the essence of His name, Eyeh Asher Eyeh, I will be what I will be, is in the same manner, take note, in John chapter 14, verse 17, Yeshua promises His disciples that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will be as I will be. It is this abiding and unchanging presence of God in us that secures our salvation. He abiding in us secures our salvation. The presence of God in us, in our life, in our hearts, reveals the essence of His nature. And that is a miracle. From the days of Moses in the burning bush, it is interesting to connect the tradition of lighting lights in Shabbat throughout the 8 days of Hanukkah. Each night we make the blessing, She'asan Nisim La'avoteinu, the one who works miracles. But what was the miracle? What was the miracle of the lights? It is the everlasting light that no power on earth can extinguish. It is Yeshua, the light of the world. He is humanity's burning bush. Since we started studying Torah and walking in the Messianic faith, we light 3 lights at home, and I hope you would too. The Shabbat candles, the Havdalah candles, and the Hanukkah candles. Rabbi Kahl recently compiled a guidebook of prayers for Shabbat. And I believe it is now available at the resource room. Or, Rabbi Kahl, do you have it on your bag or somewhere? Yeah. So I can share, I could show them. Of course, it is with a minimal donation. If you don't have it yet, this Shabbat Siddur in use, or if you are not using a Shabbat Siddur at home, I recommend that you grab one or ask Shoshana for details. We light the Shabbat candles because it represents Bayit Shalom, peace in our home, peace in our hearts, which is brought about by the blood of the Lamb. It is lit indoors because it is our inner light. It is our Shabbat rest. Yeshua is our Sabbath rest. It is lit in our hearts. It is the light of the sanctity of our marriage. It is the light of our home. The Havdalah candle, which is made up of several wicks woven together and they're braided together, it represents the inner light of Shabbat and then joined to the outer light. It is joined to the outer light that we make during the 6 days of the week. And when we go out to the world, we leave our faith in public. The Hanukkah candles, it is lit where others can see it outside. This is our testimony of the miracle that happened in our lives. That we were once lost, that we were once sinners, and now we are changed and continuously being changed. And we admit it, we are still have rough edges and constantly being refined by our Maker. And we are not afraid to announce our identity to the public. With these lights, we bring the light of hope to others. And this light is His name, which is above every name, Yeshua, Messiah, our Savior and Lord. There is a story of an old king dying. He told his sons that he would leave everything to the son that could fill up the entire room. The first brought as much straw as he could, but the room was nowhere to be full. The second brought as much sand as he could gather, but again the room was nowhere near full. The third, he brought a candle. He lit the candle, and the dark room was filled with light. This story taught me to take my candle and light it wherever I go, and use the flame of our faith to light the candle in someone else's life. Our faith will not diminish or become less when we share it or when we light another light. Actually, the light grows. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. It says that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I would like to share to you, in closing, a few ideas worth thinking about as we begin our journey to be a light to the world this 2018. The first idea is to dream. Moses dreamed of a land flowing with milk and honey. Isaiah dreamed of a world of peace. Dreams are where we visit possibilities and discover where we feel at home. Many who are greatly blessed are dreamers. Imagine setting out a journey without deciding where you are going to. However fast you travel, you will never reach your destination because you have not decided where you wanted to be. Dream. Second is follow your passion. People who follow their passion tend to lead blessed lives, happy in what they are doing, and they spend their happiness to those whose lives they touch. I have seen a few people, and I believe you have seen too, who go after wealth, who go after fame, who go after success in their careers, believing that they would bring happiness to their partners and children, only at the end to lose them because they never had the time. Third, hear the call of God in your life. Hear the call of God in your life. Abraham answered the call. He went out of Ur and journeyed to the promised land. Moses, prince of Egypt, heard the cry of his people and answered the God who was, who is, and who is ever to come, and led the Israelites to freedom. There's a story about three men quarrying for rocks. When asked, "What are they doing?" one replied, "I'm breaking rocks." The second said, "I'm earning a living." The third said, "I'm building a cathedral." We don't need to ask which one has a call in their lives. If you know that the Lord is calling you to serve Him, why not come to Him and dedicate your life? The scripture says, "Do not be afraid. I am, will be with you." If there is anyone here today who have not yet put their trust in Yeshua, answer His call. He is calling out to you to believe His name. Be honest before Him and commit your life and eternity to Him. Fourthly, make space in your life for the things that matter. For family, for friends, love, generosity, and joy. Without this, you will wonder at the end where your life went. The Bible teaches us to savor and delight in the Shabbat, a dedicated day once a week where we make space for all the things that matter, for all those are important in our life. And lastly, after Shabbat, of course, work hard. Like an athlete in a race, like a flickering flame that cannot be extinguished nor consumed. This means working hard that you become unaware of the passing of time. No one ever succeeded without hard work. And the Hebrew word for serving God is avodah, which also means hard work. These are just a few of the most important ideas anyone can do. Let's all try them, and we will be surprised what it can do for us. And in what name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will He reveal to us this year? Let us all bless everyone with a wonderful and meaningful, fulfilling 2018. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this Shabbat day that You have placed perfectly in our lives so we can spend it to those that matters most. When we look at everything through our eyes, let us understand Your plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not harm us. Plans to give us hope and a bright future. Not one of us, Lord, can further Your plans on our own. Help us to make Your kingdom our priority. And in this, we can do great things in Your honor as You have purposed it, as You have purposed us to do it, to do in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.